Please follow along with today's sermon in the sermon outline that's in your bulletin. Today's sermon was prepared for us by Pastor Harold and is entitled Waiting for God, based on Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Can you name one activity we all have in common and do not enjoy? Though there may be a few answers, one at the top of the list has to be waiting. We wait at red lights. We wait at doctor's offices. We wait for test results. We wait at the airport. We wait at the post office. We wait at the store checkout line. Men, we wait for our wives to get ready at the bathroom mirror. Women, you wait for your husbands to finish the next and then the next game on TV. Parents and grandparents, you wait for the children to do what you asked them to do 4 days ago. Waiting, it isn't easy, but often it is necessary. And we are all waiting for God in one way or another. We are waiting for Him to act. We are waiting for Him to heal someone or to change something. And quite often, His timing is not our timing. With the result that while we wait, we are tempted to change waiting into something else and something less. Some would change waiting into passivity. Oh, there's nothing I can do about it, so I'll just wait. But waiting for God is not like sitting in a dark movie theater waiting for Star Wars The Force Awakens to begin. Though for some people it probably was. Waiting for God is not like sitting in a dark movie theater. That kind of waiting on God can be just a pious excuse for spiritual laziness. No, waiting for God is like waiting for the arrival of an honored guest. There are preparations to be made. As we wait, we seek to be obedient, to do what we know God wants us to do, and what is in our power to do while waiting for God's final solution. Others exchange waiting for useless action. Oh, I'm tired of waiting for God, so I'll turn to an immediate source hope. I'll turn to drugs or alcohol, to unhealthy relationships, to a crazy busyness, keeping so busy I cannot pause to think or pray. Something, anything to give even a false or temporary hope or relief. And still others, tired of waiting for God, may create their own God. While discussing the first commandment, the Lord says, "You shall have no other gods before me," Martin Luther asked, "What is a God?" He said, "A God is whatever we fear, love, and trust above everything else. A God is what we look to for our highest good." So if we are tired of waiting for God to give us what we think we need, we can look to our homemade gods. Things like possessions, money, human relationships, sports, work, personal status and reputation, even religious activities. But these homemade and false gods cannot save us, cannot deliver us. And they soon become burdens upon us that do not deliver real and lasting hope. My friends, I am here today on the first Sunday after Christmas to tell you that our Lord Jesus Christ is the only true and lasting hope. And it was for Him that two people in today's gospel reading waited. These waiting people's names were Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna waited and served in hope. Who were they and why were they waiting? We read key verses from Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. For my own eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all peoples. Later, Luke records these words. And there was also Anna. She was of great age and had lived with a husband for 7 years. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God night and day. And coming into the temple at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who waited for redemption in Jerusalem. Simeon, a devout and faithful man, was looking for and awaiting the promised Messiah, whose title was the Consolation of Israel. Tradition suggests he was an old man, but Luke's text does not tell us his age. We just learned that God revealed to him he would not die until he saw the long-awaited Messiah with his own eyes. Now Simeon sees baby Jesus and holds him in his own arms and pronounces Jesus to be the Lord's salvation. And then says, I'm ready to depart, to die in peace. Anna, for that time, was a woman of great age, well over 80 years. She is a widow that could always be seen around the temple, involved in some kind of serving and helping. Many churches, including ours, have women like Anna. As soon as she sees Jesus in Simeon's arms, she told any who would listen that Jerusalem's Redeemer had arrived. As Simeon and Anna waited, they were not passive or lazy. They would not bear the title old and useless. They served others in need. They worshiped. They prayed. They taught the younger generation about God and proclaimed that God kept his promises. And God came, but not as they expected. Who knows what they were expecting? But surely not a frail baby boy and poor parents who came to the Jerusalem temple for the baby's circumcision and naming ceremony. But it did not take long for both Simeon and Anna to learn that this baby was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. Yet you wonder, if Simeon and Anna said to each other, and perhaps to others that day, this is not what we expected. My friends, God comes to us today, but not as we expect. We may pray, God, come and bring me inner peace. And he comes with another challenge to help us grow in faith. We may pray, God, come and bring healing. And he comes at the graveside of our loved one with the promise, I am the resurrection and the life. We may pray, God, come and change this situation. And he comes and changes not the situation, but he changes us in a far better way than we ever imagined. If you've been fading out, now is the time to fade back in. Here is an important question for us. Can we recognize his coming at the cross as well as at the cradle? Can we recognize his coming at Calvary as well as at Bethlehem? That is to say, can we recognize God's coming in times of pain and hardship as well as in times of peace and comfort? Simeon did. He said, I have seen and held God's salvation, and I'm ready to die in peace, whatever this sinful and difficult world throws at me. Simeon also said to Mary, baby Jesus' mother, these words recorded in Luke 2, This son of yours will pierce your soul. That is to say, Jesus' suffering and crucifixion for the sins of the world will bring you, Mother Mary, great personal pain. My friends, to you Jesus comes. In this new year and in every year and moment of your life, he comes not just as a peaceful babe on a peaceful Christmas day, but also as the Savior who knows your sin and pain and sorrow. He will be with you through thick and thin, the other 364 days of the year. Can we recognize his coming to us today? He comes especially in his holy word and his sacrament of Holy Communion. In the teaching and preaching of his word, Jesus comes today. He says to you, "You are a sinner. I am your Savior. Listen to my plans for you, now and for all eternity." In his true body and blood of Holy Communion, Jesus comes today. He says to you, "I am truly present in, with, and under this bread and wine. I am here to forgive your sins, to give you strength, to give you a foretaste of the eternal feast in heaven for which you are waiting." Can we serve him as we wait? Simeon and Anna did. They knew this Lord Jesus claimed and bought their very lives. They knew he came to redeem them from the powers of sin, death, and the devil. They served him in their daily lives by their words and by their deeds. They dedicated their daily lives to proclaiming Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone they met. Today I challenge you to ask your Lord Jesus, "Lord, how would you have me serve you as I wait? In what area of my life do I need to be obedient to you? Lord, I want to make some changes in my life. I am willing to do what you want me to do." That sounds like a very good New Year's resolution to me. The old master painter Giotto created a masterpiece depicting the gospel account of Mary and Joseph in the temple with the baby Jesus in the arms of Simeon. His painting is entitled "The Presentation in the Temple." In the painting, old Simeon holds the baby Jesus, his lips moving beneath his flowing beard with the famous words, "Now let your servant depart in peace." Giotto knows his Simeon. He also knows his babies. The baby Jesus in this painting is far from resting in the arms of this stranger. He is reacting like all babies when held by frightful strangers. His dark eyes are narrowed and fixed in alarm at Simeon. His tiny arms are reaching desperately for his mother. Giotto knows his babies. He also knows the deep truth of this moment. As baby Jesus reaches away from Simeon to Mary, we observe that the child is suspended right above the temple altar, the place where animal sacrifices are made for the sins of the people. Giotto declares in this painting that this baby is a part of God's plan from the beginning. He is the eternal sacrifice for the salvation of all people. The wait is over. He has arrived. My friends, we wait in a world of sin and death, and Jesus comes to us today. He comes not just in the peace of Christmas Day, but also in the pains and challenges of every other day of the year. And one day, he will come again at the world's end, and we will bring with him an end to sin and death and the beginning of the eternal joys of heaven. Come, Lord Jesus. We can hardly wait. In the name of Jesus, amen.